Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and the Florida legislature for even thinking about eliminating property taxes from the state. I almost hate to have to explain this, but property taxes are one of the most powerful socialist policies embraced by the supposedly capitalist United States. Frankly, it's always amazed me how virtually no one questions the idea that a taxation scheme in which the wealthy pay far more than the poor and in which every single citizen never really owns their property but must instead rent it annually from the government or have it taken away. I mean, if that isn't socialism, I don't know what is. From each according to his ability to each according to his need. That's our thing, man. A policy that funds government by redistributing wealth and especially one that directly punishes people who own private property, we love it. But now if Florida becomes serious about this, they'll have done away with the two most potent mechanisms of social democracy, the property tax and the income tax. If so, it's hard to see anything left in Florida other than pure capitalism. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to celebrate one of our longtime heroes, Rosie O'Donnell, who this week announced that unlike so many famous members of our order who threatened to leave the United States if you know who was reelected and did not, she actually did flee the country, emigrating to what we can only assume is her ancestral homeland of Ireland. Now, yes, we know many of our political opponents have been celebrating Rosie's departure as a victory since they think, good riddance and don't let the airplane door hit you on the way out. What they don't realize is how powerful this example is, precisely because she's so irrelevant. Obviously, Rosie hasn't made any noteworthy contributions to pop culture in quite some time, but that's why this is such a powerful act. The fact that a J-list celebrity like Rosie can be front of webpage news just by rejecting President Not a Chance's inauguration reminds us that we all have power. So use your social power well. And if you must leave the country, well, do so in a flashy way that makes the news, especially if otherwise nobody on earth cares what you do. Way to leverage your obscurity for a brief flicker of internet-amplified social protest. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Third, yet another advocate worthy of our strong praise has come to our attention recently, Allison McCullough, a movie reviewer who has forced herself to endure more than 24,000 movies in order to tell her followers whether those films are kind to animals or mean to them. That's right, she's a vegan film critic who grades movies based on whether they align with the values of PETA or with the values of big meat and the carnivore industrial complex. For instance, if a movie shows animals with endearing anthropomorphic human characteristics like Kung Fu Panda, Flow, or The Lion King, well, those movies are graded highly because they make animals seem more like people, which is the goal. Four lentils. And if there are specific elements of animal virtue involved, such as Kraven the Hunter refusing to shoot a lion, or simple agricultural cultivation or gardening normalized, she will award them bonus vegan points. Three lentils plus plus. On the other hand, if movies feature violence against animals, enslavement of animals for work or sport, such as horse racing, or the celebration of eating meat, as for instance a barbecue at the Toretto family home in the Fast and the Furious series, well, those movies get flagged with vegan demerits. Two lentils, minus, minus. And sometimes her role is simply to educate, by making people realize that even the seemingly harmless background activities on the silver screen matter. For instance, if a main character drinks a glass of milk, she will flag that and remind readers that, quote, people might think a glass of milk is innocuous. It's not. It's full of violence. So true. One lentil. Minus, minus. So here's to you, Allison McCullough. We see what you're doing all by yourself in that dark movie theater to bring attention to the systemic violence of Western meat culture. And we raise a glass of non-GMO, cruelty-free, living wage-prepared soy milk in your honor. Drink up and keep up the good fight. For until all animals are free, no animals are free. And we're glad that no vegans were harmed in the making of this movie review. Four lentils, plus, plus, plus. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, and I want to take a moment to prepare you for our next set of congratulations. As all of you know, we've been in an extended culture war against America that stretches back decades to when we called our movement political correctness instead of wokeness, cancellation, accountability, anti-racism, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Same ideas, different advertising. But all this time, there have been really two halves to our religion. The first half is all the causes we care so deeply about. Climate salvation, inclusion for all people of the holy acronym string, gender anarchy, racial justice, destroying Christianity, redistribution of wealth, and so on. All good things. But the second half is our means of achieving those noble goals through separating people from the past and tradition, taking absurd positions in order to make our merely radical agenda seem more reasonable, and the persistent use of contradiction to undermine the reliance on logic. All good tactics. But the most powerful and subversive method we use is the manipulation of language through banning old words and inventing new ones. Because controlling people's actions begins with controlling their thoughts. And the most effective way to control people's thoughts is to control the words they use. So even if someone is opposed to the first half of our religion, if they advance the second half by destroying language, they're at least somewhat of a partner with us. With that in mind, I'm going to say something very shocking. Be prepared. President, we still don't say his name, is starting to look more like an ally rather than an adversary. For example, his administration is actively scrubbing the social media pages of Department of Defense accounts to remove anything related to race, gender, and sexuality, such as milestones in aviation for black or female aviators. It apparently includes at least flagging for review things like the name of the B-29 that struck Hiroshima, the Enola Gay, and other historical references including to service members who have the name Gay, whether first or last. Although the unnameable one is removing things we cherish, we must remember that it is the removing that matters. If history can be changed, we can eventually change it our way because people will have lost the idea that they shouldn't change history. It has also come to light that executive branch departments are making lists of words that should either not be used at all or should be scrutinized before being used because they tend to favor our ideas rather than his ideas. Again, although this appears to be working against us, it's actually a blessing in disguise because he's making people comfortable with the idea of controlling language for political purpose, one of the core pillars of our movement. And since, as the old saying goes, if you can't fight them, join them, we have some suggestions that are as absurd as the others, but again, the more absurd the better, because getting people to embrace absurdity is also a part of the gig, baby. So here are some ideas. Rather than scrubbing all references to the Enola Gay, simply change her name to the Enola Straight and rename the bomb it dropped from Little Boy to Juvenile Male of Small Stature. Building on the success of changing the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, he should definitely rename the Pacific Ocean as the West American Ocean and the Atlantic as the East American Ocean, or perhaps MAGA West and MAGA East Oceans. The AH-64 helicopter Army variant shall be called the Dark Hawk instead of Black Hawk, since black was one of the flagged words. The Transcontinental Railroad should be named as the Cross Country Railroad, for obvious reasons. The Department of Transportation shall become the Department of Going Places. Transatlantic flights or shipping will instead be called East American Ocean Crossing Routes or West MAGA Ocean Crossing Routes. He should immediately stop talking about transparency in government and instead refer to open government or government in the sunshine or perhaps just honest government, a wonderful bit of doublespeak if we do say so ourselves. Certainly the music of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra shall not be played in any government building. When necessary for scientific sounding discourse, the preferred term will be heterosapiens, instead of Homo sapiens, naturally. And even though it's a little far from presidential authority, in the interest of thoroughness, the Pontiac Trans Am will hereafter only be referred to as the Man Am, since any car Burt Reynolds drives in a movie must surely be all man. We'll have more suggestions in the future, but this is a good start. And again, we're well aware that President Will Never Say does not think he's working for our cause, which is all the better. The best foils are the ones who don't even realize they're helping the wrong side until it's too late. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.